Hello, everyone. It is 8/8/2023. And here's a fascinating fact for you. Today is the 35th anniversary of the first game played under the lights at Wrigley Field. Yep, sure enough, 8/8/88. This happens to be episode 8 of season 3 of the More Math for More People podcast. Cheers!
Hello there, I'm Joel.
And I'm Misty.
And you're listening to the More Math for More People podcast, an outreach of CPM Educational Program.
We have a lot of conversations about math and math education on this podcast. We're passionate about continually improving the way math is taught, and we hope that you learn something in every episode that helps you become better at what you do.
And we hope that you have some fun and laugh as well. That always makes things a little more interesting.
Yep, we're pretty passionate about having fun, Joel.
So please have a listen, and we think it'll be well worth it.
Boom. Okay, here we are, and I am wondering, what day is it today, Joel?
Today is National Pickleball Day.
National Pickleball Day.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think I've played pickleball like sometime way back in the 80s, maybe.
I feel like it's been a while for me, too.
So I don't really remember it much other than having a funny ball and paddle and kind of being on a tennis court, but not really a tennis court.
It says here that pickleball was born in 1965. So in the 80s, you're in the early stages.
Only been around for 20 years then.
That's right. They didn't even publish a rule book till 84.
Oh, that might have been close to that time.
Yeah.
I might have played it in middle school, which would have been just before 84. So maybe we played it without rules. I mean, if we were middle schoolers, we probably would have played it without rules. So
Exactly.
All right. So how does pickleball go?
How do you play it?
Well, I don't know. Tell me something about it. Or not.
How does it go? Well, the holiday itself is pretty new. It's only since 2021 that it's been a national day. Mm-hmm. I think you described it well, like it's a smaller court. I've seen a lot of pickleball courts in my area being built. Mm-hmm. I've noticed.
Does it have a different, it doesn't, you don't use like a tennis ball, you use like a pickle.
Yeah.
It's not a racquetball, it's like special, different kind of.
I was going to say it's
ball.
Maybe more like a handball, like harder
kind of
thing. Yeah. And you can't cross there's a line up by the net. You can't cross that line.
Okay.
We should be asking our PL team members, our professional learning team members.
Yes.
That actually are playing pickleball.
We should be asking them.
And they could give us some insight into this wonderful sport.
Maybe we'll invite them to just record a little, hey, this is what I know about pickleball.
Yes,
we'll add it.
I think
we'll
that's
add it
a good idea.
This. Yeah, because we clearly do not know what we're talking about.
We don't know anything. I know.
I mean, we often don't know what we're talking about, but this is almost on the verging on negligence.
I saw in the news where, and I think you can play pickleball at any age. But
imagine.
from a certain age, like I'm going to just say 65.
I'm going to say as a 3-month-old, you can't play pickleball.
That's right. But, well, you know. You got to be able to hold the racket.
Yeah.
But the age group above 65, pickleball accounted for a third of the emergency room visits. That's because it's so challenging. If you get hurt, you get hurt. And it's
okay.
I'm
not sure that is like an endorsement of the game, maybe it is. I don't know.
I just am saying you just can't go out and play pickleball maybe on a Saturday. You got
to
stretch. You got to train. You got to learn the rules.
Yes, you should probably learn the rules. Or decide with the other person that you're playing with you're not going to play with rules. And then
there you go.
Have fun. It does sound like something you need to be, know your physical limitations around. Yes.
I think that's a good idea that we should reach out and ask for a little description from our team members.
I think that we should definitely
do play. And any listener who has some knowledge of the pickleball, please write in
about pickleball.
Yeah, we'd like to hear from you.
Awesome. Great. We'll do that.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Lisa Comfort, the Regional Professional Learning Coordinator for the Great Plains and also an avid pickleball player. I was delighted when Joel asked me to share a description of the fastest growing sport in America. Pickleball combines many elements of tennis, badminton, and ping pong and can be played both indoors or outdoors. Instead of a racket, pickleball is played with a paddle and a wiffle ball. The net height is just slightly lower than the tennis court and the size of a badminton court. The rules are simple and the game is easy for beginners to learn. You want to remember to stay out of the kitchen and avoid being pickled. The kitchen is a volley-free zone in front of the net. That means players can't run into the net to smash a ball at their opponent. If you hit the ball in the air while in the kitchen, you'll lose a point. If you lose the game without scoring a point, it's called being pickled. The rules sound complicated, but they're actually pretty easy to pick up. Pickleball can be enjoyed by all ages and skill levels, but can also develop into a fast-paced, competitive game. So come join the fun and try pickleball today. You will relish it.
So we're here today with Jordan Orozco. He is a math teacher at Deer Valley High School in Antioch, California. And Jordan has joined us today because Jordan does math raps. And I think that's pretty exciting because I don't think I could rap very well about anything. So thanks for being here today, Jordan.
Yeah, thanks,
Jordan. Excited to talk with you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
Yeah. My first question is, what motivated you? What made you start thinking, I want to do some raps about math? I mean, clearly you're a math teacher, so that part makes sense. But like, why did you go to creating these raps and how did that get started for you?
Yeah, I always, with my friend, we do long road trips all the time. We'll always, just growing up, would put a beat on and try to freestyle thinking we were rappers. And and so that part has always existed. And then in class with my students, a lot of them are trying to rap and they make beats on the table and stuff. And they're, you know, trying to do something. And I'm always like, I can rap better than you guys. You guys, I hear what you're saying, blah, blah, blah. And as joking out is how it started. And then I was like, I bet you I could even make a rap about math. And they were, Orozco, that's so lame. It's not even going to be good, blah, blah, blah. You can't do whatever. And so it was just spring break and I had a time off and I was, I'm going to try to do it. And I found a beat off YouTube and tried. Just starting to write, I didn't even know what I wanted it, like the first one to be. I just was like, let me try to make it about math. And it's just basically me just saying a bunch of concept names and trying to make them rhyme and stuff. and it's actually a bit easy because everyone's like, how do you rhyme stuff with math terms? But a lot of it does rhyme, actually, like when you're going through it, like combination and permutation. I was like, oh, that already rhymes. Stuff like that kind of was. But that's kind of just how it like naturally came about. And I got it done. And then I was so nervous about posting it and sharing it because I have a YouTube channel, That Math Magician, and it started over COVID as a way for me to deliver content to my students. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always posting math tutorials and stuff like that. Like that is, I know I'm on it. I posted. There's no nervousness.
Right.
But with the math rap, I was like, oh man, I don't know if I can do it. And I was showing people, like my friends and family, and they were like, well, sounds good, Jordan. You should just do it. And then I started some students that I had for a couple of years. I was like, okay, maybe I'll show this kid. Maybe I'll show this kid. And they would be like, Roscoe, that's actually not bad. Like, that's decent. I was like, okay, I think I got to post this. So then I just posted it and it blew up. It's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
After the first one, did it get you thinking about, I guess, a specific content rather than just vocabulary words?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it happened at the end of the year when I released it. And so it was for the final, like just name dropping everything we had done the whole year for, cause I taught algebra one and geometry. Mm-hmm. So I had one verse for all geometry terms, the other one for all algebra one. And just exactly. And then when that summer vacation, it blew up. And then I'm getting into last year and I'm like, okay, I really want to try to teach on the song because it's so funny. Cause like, it's fun to talk to math people. Because when I go on the news, they're like, they hear him. They're like, oh my gosh, your kids must have learned so much from the first one. I'm like, I'm not really teaching it. It's just saying the words. Like I say, oh, a circle's 360, but that's not real. You know what I mean? So it's funny because they're always just so amazed. But yeah, so I tried to write it. And so I wrote my next one was called MX plus B. And it was all about how to graph a line. And I talk about from the first step all the way to it. Mm-hmm. And it's, that's been cool. And then eventually I made a whole mixtape about Algebra 1 concepts and in a couple of songs. Yeah. It talks about how to do each mm-hmm. one. So it's fun.
That is cool.
Yeah. So you present these to your kids and you put them out there on YouTube and I'm wondering about what your students' response has been, and other than just the first one you talked about. And then are they picking them up to use them for learning? Do you hear your kids singing them to themselves or anything like that?
That's a good question. It's funny. And I've realized that in a group setting, they will mm-hmm. not admit that, oh, it's actually decent. Oh, that is cool. Whatever. Except uh-huh. when I've had a couple of news crews come and do like specials on me at the school. When mm-hmm. the cameras are on, oh, they are loving me, blah, blah, blah. But then when it's back in normal class and something happens, they're like, oh, no, it's not good. But one-on-one, then they'll be like, oh, actually, Roscoe, like I did like it. Like, that one's actually kind of cool. So it's funny they still have that peer pressure. Yeah, I've never had a kid like come up and actually say, like, help me or whatever. I don't think they're confident enough to say that. But mm-hmm. I do hope at least that the hook gets stuck in their brain, or the chorus, and it just reminds them, oh, about that's how I do zero product property, or mm-hmm. oh, that's how I graph a line. So I'm hoping it's there. It's being listened to. I see that there's streams for the songs. Yeah. So I do hope. No feedback yet.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know. Well, I'm also wondering too, if any, at some point, some of your kids are motivated to write their own as a way of constructing their own learning and their understanding of remembering things would be very cool also.
Yeah, at the end of last year, we were doing state testing and they gave us like way too much time, like 4 hours to administer the test. And they were done like 2 hours. We had a lot of time to kill. And one of the kids was saying that, Roscoe, you should do it where like a kid can jump on the song and rap mm-hmm. with you. And I was like, absolutely. Like, I am so down for that. But you got to like rap about math. Like, it's got to be actual too.
Right.
I was like, you can't be dissing math. Like, that's not going to go. So I'm hoping next year to try that. At my school, we used to have a math rap contest. Because mm-hmm. I actually went to the high school that I teach at.
Oh, cool.
So, cool. So when I was there, they had this big contest. I never entered it because I was too nervous back then, too scared. Like, would never do that. So I'm hoping, I'm actually wanting to bring it back and offer that to students and maybe like a prize for the best mm-hmm. one or something. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, it'd be cool.
That is pretty
cool. Yeah.
So what is some of the, can you go into some of, what is some of the creative process? Like, how do you actually pick a topic? How do you write a rap? How do you like, how do you go through that?
For this upcoming school year, I'm attempting to make a new math rap every month. Ooh. And I don't know if I can stick with it because right now it's easy because I'm on summer break and I have a mm-hmm. lot of time to kill. But my hope is, to have one come out each month. And so I'm trying to time it with what concept is being taught for Algebra 1 and geometry. So I already have one done for August that's going to be released, and it's called Function, and it's all about functions mm-hmm. and function machines because we use CPM. And so I even in that song talk about the soda machine, the vending machine mm-hmm. problem. I don't know if you guys are familiar mm-hmm. with it,
yep.
but I rap about that in the song, took inspiration from that because it's such a big problem and the kids mm-hmm. really tend to connect with that problem. So I was like, oh, let me see if I can incorporate that into the rap. But yeah, generally I just get a beat. I have a producer friend mm-hmm. here in town who works with other artists and is really, really talented. And he's sending me a beat a month, and we're trying to knock them out so that they can get released in time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear about the Functions Factory of America rap.
Yeah. That, I mean, the, for me, the idea of just trying to write something that's very factual sort of content into a rhyme and a beat and a rhythm like that. That sounds like that could be really challenging.
I write on my phone usually, and I just throw the key terms, what I want for it. So with my MX+B song, I was like, okay, I want to talk about the slope. I want to talk the y-intercept. Mm-hmm. Oh, but y-intercept has that, or it could be called the B term or the starting point or blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. So I try to just spew everything out. And then I just sit there and I play the beat over and over. I loop it. And then I just start trying to put it all together. Especially, it's a little easier when when it's the teaching part, because then it kind of just flows naturally. Like when you're teaching how to graph a line, you start with, okay, there's the starting point. Okay, what's the slope? Oh, it's the go up or down or left or right. So mm-hmm. that part tends to get easier for me. It's the rhyming that really gets me sometimes.
Yeah, no doubt.
It can be really tricky. Right now, my song for September is about angle relationships. Mm-hmm. And there are so many.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I'm trying to cram them all into this song. It's like a 2.5 minute song I got. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many to talk about. And trying to rhyme verbs with like transversal and complementary angles. And complementary and supplementary, they rhyme. So that's helpful.
That is helpful. It's cool. I remember teaching like the quadratic formula, and there's the Pop Goes the Weasel song and things like that. Mm. I think it's so cool how you're creating a community and a culture because you're doing it. And so have you noticed your community and culture build a little bit from you actually doing the songs?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's really cool to see my kids get excited for the songs. Whenever I make it, I have one student who I had an algebra one, and he didn't do that well. He didn't pass the first year. It was during distance learning, though, so it was really tough time. But when I didn't have him his sophomore year, but he was taking a class with another teacher but would come and get help from me because we bonded over distance learning. But when I had the math rap released, he loves to film and do like editing and all that stuff. And he jumped. He was like, please let me, you need to make a music video, Roscoe. To make it go viral, you have to have visuals. And he got in, and then his friends wanted to be in the video. And it was just really cool. I'm like, guys, it's about math. Like it's not a real rap video, but they were like so excited. So it's cool to like now, because that was a year ago. So like two classes ago now. But seeing those kids kind of that snapshot, I'm like, oh man, that's so neat. Yeah. And then last year we did our MX plus B music video. And I told the kids, I said, it's you guys take the creative approach to it. I don't know what to do. You guys tell me what to do, what to wear, where to stand. And they ended up talking to their friends in the theater department and had all the lights on in the theater for us and like made this fake classroom set on there.
Oh my gosh.
And they just went all out, and it looks so good. It's my best music video ever, but it's all the kids. And I always try to give them all the praise because the visuals, that's all them. I can't do that.
Yeah. What a great project for them.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Yeah. And it's really cool. And I even have started now trying to bring the kids with me to like the new shows when I go, just so they get exposure to and they can see a cool aspect of it.
Yeah. I saw one of your videos. I saw you were generating some excitement. It was a live show for America's Got Talent.
Oh, yes.
Is that true? Did you ever get on America's Got Talent?
Man. So I haven't yet. So they emailed me about in March, right before I went to a teaching convention in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And they said, we love everything you got. We want you to be on the show. We need a live video of you rapping to just show that you have stage presence. And I'm like, I'm going to San Diego for a teaching conference. There's no way. So the teaching conference had the end of the conference party, and they had this dance and DJ. Mm-hmm. And I finagled my way on stage with a flash drive. And I was like, please let me do this. And so it was cool. That was really cool because it's a bunch of teachers. And so they weren't math teachers, though. They were activities directors and leadership teachers. So they still kind of got into it. But that's why I'm excited for the CPM conference. Come, those are my people, my math people. They'll understand what I'm talking.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, hopefully we'll be able to have you do one of your raps as part of the Ignite.
Yeah.
That's not up to me, but we're hoping that you'll be able to get finagle your way into that as well, perhaps.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we're going to, and one of the things we did want to do is have you try to perform one here. Are you ready to do that?
Of course.
All right. So Joel's got the music, and I'm going to mute, and then we're going to just give it a go. So here you go.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm just going to play it then. Is that the idea?
Sounds good.
Okay. If something goes wrong, stop me.
Okay. Okay, I can hear it. We're good. Cool, So this song is called Roots, and it's off my mixtape. It's called Algebra Anthology, and it's all about Algebra 1 stuff. So let's see if I can do it again. All right. Here we go. Y'all ready? Hey, hey, hey. Roots, roots, roots. Hey, see, it's time. We got to find all the roots, roots, roots. Hey, get your book. We gotta look for the roots, roots, roots. Hey, no guarantee. We gotta see. And it roots, roots, roots. Yeah, take a sec. We gotta check for the... Alright, it's time for quadratics. Well, graphing them can be a bit traumatic, but the roots are beneficial. 2 points, the end and the initial. I can tell you how to find them. Let's start with the box of diamond. Using that, you can know its factors. I'm moving on to my favorite chapter. CPPE. You don't know what that is? Let me tell you, it's zero product property. You just gotta follow along with me. So set each factor equal to zero. Solve them out, then you'll be the hero. Now you know where it starts and ends. Look at you learning how to comprehend the roots, roots, roots. Hey, see, it's time. We gotta find all the roots, roots, roots. Hey, get your book. We gotta look for the roots, roots, roots. Hey, no guarantee. We gotta see. And it roots, roots, roots. Take a sec, we gotta check for the, well, what if you can't factor? I don't want that to be a detractor. Did you ever learn how to complete the square? If you didn't, there's no need to feel scared. Gotta figure out what's the missing piece. Then you'll choose to add or decrease. The equation looks a bit transformed. There's the vertex, it's graphing form. Solve for x. But if that fails too, then what's next? Quadratic formula. Sounds crazy, but it's the only choice left. We use it as a last resort. It looks complicated because it isn't short. X equals negative b plus or minus the square root of b squared minus 4ac all over 2a. A, a, a. See, it's time. We gotta find all the roots, roots, roots. Hey, get your book. We gotta look for the roots, roots, roots. Hey, no guarantee. We gotta see. And it roots, roots, roots. Take a sec, we got a check for the... That's it, that's roots.
That's nice.
Awesome.
Thank you.
That is great.
Yeah, that is my favorite song off the mixtape. It's my producer friend, because I'm from the Bay Area. I was like, I want a Bay Area beat. I wanted to, you know, sound like it came from it, and he gave me it, and it was a lot of fun.
Cool.
A lot of fun.
Love
it. Yeah, that is awesome. That is awesome. Oh, man. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and telling us about, I mean, a really, really creative way that you are getting engaged with your students and connecting with them. And I just think that's awesome. So good on you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
So that's all we have time for on this episode of the More Math for More People podcast.
For more information and to stay connected, find CPM on Twitter and Facebook. You can find our handles in the podcast description.
The music for the podcast was created by Julius H. and can be found on pixabay.com. Thanks, Julius. Join us in 2 weeks for the next episode of More Math for More People. What day will that be, Joel?
It'll be August 22nd, World Plant Milk Day. So on this podcast, you've probably heard me talk about my work in the dairy field and my work with creating dairy products and preparing them and things like that. And this holiday is not about that. This is not about planting milk. This is about milk from plants. And so as we look at this day, it'll be interesting to hear all the places that we can look at plants to get milk from and see what benefits to our bodies are, maybe, or to our lives. I don't know much about it, but it would be fun to find out. I guess I could head to the market and research there. I could